Turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 18. Tonight we're going to talk about forgiveness. We're going to start out talking about unforgiveness and then end talking about forgiveness. Forgiveness is a non-negotiable. And if you're a Christian, you know that. It's not a maybe you will, maybe you won't. It's a non-negotiable. Jesus put great value on forgiveness. Jesus would say that, you know, if you expect forgiveness, you better be willing to forgive. Forgiveness is something that we don't just want for ourselves. We're willing to forgive, okay? And forgiveness is possible in light of what we've been forgiven of. That's the key to forgiveness. To understand the great debt that we as Christian people have been forgiven of. You know, so like anything, it starts out with salvation. It's really hard to grasp forgiveness if your heart hasn't been transformed. Because you're dealing with an unregenerated, wicked, selfish heart. It's really hard to forgive someone with an unregenerated, wicked, selfish heart. Would you agree? But when the love of Christ captures our heart and we understand the crime against God that we have been forgiven of, sky's the limit. Sky's the limit, right? We are now willing and able to forgive others of anything that has been done to us or to others, okay? So we've all heard this statement, I can forgive, but I'll never forget. Is that really forgiveness? I can forgive, but I'll never forget. That's not forgiveness according to Jesus, okay? Forgiveness is forgetting. It's forgetting. It's not holding someone to the crimes that they have committed. It's deliberately forgetting. Now, it might take time till it leaves your mind, but it's a deliberate, I'm demanding that I forget this. I'm not holding this individual to what they had said or done to me. And we can be real stubborn and bitter, can't we? If we've been hurt, we've been burned. And we all have. I mean, we all have stories of how we've been let down, right? Burned or hurt. And some are legitimate. Some, you know, some people have a past where it's tremendous, the things that people have been through. But again, when the Lord Jesus, the light of Christ, captures our heart, and then we understand what we've been forgiven of, that's how forgiveness is possible. Because we don't look at what has been done or said, it's what we have been forgiven of. So the trick, the key to forgiveness is looking unto Jesus, okay? And looking unto what he has done for me personally. Make it personal, right? What he has done for you. And then a clean slate. The word forgive in the Greek language means to let go, to give up a debt, to forgive or to remit. To, you know, let go of the debt. You don't owe me anything. I completely have forgiven, and, you know, I demand that I forget. I'm not going to hold you to that anymore, okay? So in Matthew chapter 18, verse 21, if anyone needs a Bible, just so you guys know, there's a whole pile of them on the coat rack out there. We'd be happy to get you one if you need one. All different translations and shapes and sizes. Helps to follow along. Matthew 18:21. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times 7. That's how this story starts out, right? Jesus and Peter having a conversation, and Peter asked the question, you know, my brother's sinning against me. How many times is it appropriate for me to forgive him? Like, when is enough enough? That's kind of the question, right? And, you know, according to the rabbi of the day, if you forgive someone three times, you fulfilled your religious commitment. And Peter was being real religious, if you know the culture. He's like, up to seven times? I'm even double religious. I'm willing to forgive twice as much as what's expected of me. And Jesus says, no, not up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven, which is a Hebrew idiom for as many times as it takes. That's what Jesus said. As many times as it takes. Don't put a limit. Don't put a number on it. Forgiveness is something that we do in light of what we've been forgiven of. And we'll read that. Jesus is going to break it down and explain what he's talking about. But we're like that, aren't we? We put a number on everything. Or a severity on things. I'll forgive, you know, people for this, but if you cross the line, here's the line in the sand. You know, we all have in our mind what we are unwilling to forgive, okay? You know, there's things we'll forgive somebody for stealing our, you know, I don't know, our lobster trap, or we'll forgive someone for, you know, breaking into our car and stealing our change. That's what they do where I'm from, right? Or you'll forgive someone for this or someone for that, but whew, don't cross this line. Cross the line, you know, like, you know, hurt my children, okay? Forgiveness is no longer an option for you. And what Jesus is saying here is, don't draw the line. There is no line. There is no line. There is nothing so great that we aren't commanded to forgive. Nothing. Nothing. Nothing anyone says, nothing anyone does, nothing anyone thinks, no trouble anyone causes, that we should say that crossed the line. Now, trust and you know, lending money to people and stuff like that, that's where wisdom comes in. But forgiveness is different. The context and what we're talking about is forgiveness. Okay? Because you forgive someone doesn't mean you have to keep putting yourself out there and keep, you know, having yourself be made a fool of. Okay? Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. This is forgiveness in your heart. All right? And then going to verse 23, for this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. But since he did not have the means to repay, his lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment to be made. So this is what is going on here. You know, the kingdom of heaven is another way of saying God's economy. Okay? In God's economy, according to God, this is the way things are. Okay? And then Jesus is going to give this analogy. There is a Lord, there is a ruler, someone who was in charge of many people. And he went to settle his accounts. In other words, servants, slaves owed this Lord all this money. This guy owed a little bit, this person owed a lot. So everywhere between $100 and this debt, you know, if we were to do the mathematics, would literally break down to $7.5 million. That's what this slave owed the Lord, owed this king. $7.5 million, all right? This is 2,000 years ago. If I owed $7,500, I'd be in trouble. You know what I mean? In 2021. So you can imagine, this is a debt that this slave couldn't pay. He couldn't, right? It would have taken him his whole entire life. And so the king went out and he had his handlers go and get this slave. And because he couldn't repay, the Lord commanded him to be sold with his wife and his children and all that he had until payment was made. All right? That would be right because this slave owed this debt to the king, right? And you know, in terms of what is right and wrong, it was right for this slave to be captured and be sold so that the king could, you know, get his money back, basically. Okay? That would have been right. Short of mercy, short of this king extending grace to this man, okay? Verse 26, this is what happens. The slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself, right? That position of worship before the king. And he said, have patience with me and I will repay you everything. Verse 27, and the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. He forgave him. He didn't have to. Right? He did. He forgave him. Okay? Because he felt compassion on him. And it's called mercy, guys. Okay? Not getting what you deserve. The Lord, the King, extended mercy to this man. He felt compassion. He said, I forgive you. And he let him, not just him, his wife, his kid, out of the cell and let them become free again. Verse 28, this slave went out and found one of the fellow slaves, a peer, one of his peers, who owed him 100 denarii. A denarii is a day's wage, right? Or whatever. So 100 denarii. This is a debt that is payable. It's not this extreme amount, just a little bit, right? And seized him, and he began to choke him, saying, pay back what you owe me. Can you picture this? This slave that was just forgiven a debt he couldn't pay, right? It would have taken him his whole entire life and still probably wouldn't have paid it off. But the king forgave him and let him go free, his wife and his kids. And as soon as that door swings open, this slave bumps into a fellow slave, a peer. Another Christian that owed him $100. And he immediately forgets what he has been forgiven of. He immediately forgets the mercy that had been extended to him. And he begins to choke this fellow slave, this fellow Christian, right? You're going to pay me back every dime you owe me, you dirty rat. And he chokes him and he's strangling him. Right? Won't let go. 29. So the fellow slave, just like the guy himself did, fell to the ground and he prostrated himself before the one that he owed the debt to, just like the guy did before him. They did the same thing. And he begged him for mercy. Please forgive me. He begged for forgiveness. Right? Have patience with me, he said, and I will repay you. Verse 30, but he was unwilling. And he went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what was owed. And that is unforgiveness to a T in one story in the Bible. Okay, this is right out of the mouth of our Lord Jesus in the Bible for a reason, right? What would this man, all that he had to do to see forgiveness properly, what would it have been? What did this slave that was forgiven the debt, What did he forget to do in this situation? Remember what he had been forgiven of, right? We're quick to forget. I think when it comes to forgiveness and mercy, we want it for ourselves. We want it. We want as much mercy, as much forgiveness, as much grace as is available. But when it comes to extending it to others, there's a line, there's a limit, you've run out, sir. Out of grace, out of mercy, run out. But when it comes to us, not so. It's not so. We want it all. There isn't enough grace in the world. There isn't enough mercy in the world when it comes to us. It's an extremely selfish position, okay? The key to forgiveness is seeing it through the eyes of Christ, right? Remember when Jesus hung on a cross? By the way, he hung on a cross for me. He hung on a cross for you. But on that cross, he was an innocent man, and he cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." None of the mistakes they made had come into the picture. None of his innocence had come into, had crossed his lips. None of that. It was forgiveness. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. I mean, that lesson is for me and you. That's for us, right? Forgiveness is not, you could take it or leave it. It's a non-negotiable. It is Christianity. We forgive in light of the debt that we have been forgiven of. And then Jesus is going to continue this story, and please pay attention to how it ends. This is the result of unforgiveness. As it continues, verse 31, so when his fellow slaves, in other words, other slaves, saw what happened, they were deeply grieved, and they went and reported to the Lord, to the king, and all that they had just witnessed. In summoning him, his Lord said to him, so the Lord said to these other servants, go and get that man that just choked that guy and was unwilling to forgive. Go get him and bring him to me. At that point, you got to be like, uh-oh, now I'm in trouble. And they did. They brought that wicked slave who choked that man and did not extend mercy to the Lord. You wicked slave, the king said, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. I forgave you. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you? That's how forgiveness works, okay? In the same way that forgiveness has been extended to us, we extend it to others. We ought to be quick to dish it out. Not withhold, not make someone deserve it. Be quick to dish it out because Christ is so compassionate, so quick to forgive, right? When we ask for forgiveness, right? 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sin, God is faithful, God is just to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He doesn't say, no, wait a minute. Let me make sure you're really sorry. Repent. Confess your sin to the Lord, right? He's quick to forgive. He's faithful to forgive, okay? And in light of that, we ought to be quick to forgive and faithful to forgive because our heart has been transformed. So, and then it ends like this. 34, and his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from his heart. From your heart, This isn't lip service. Forgiveness is not just lip service. It's an act of the heart. Something that we do in our heart, and our actions speak of what has already been done in our heart. Again, remember, I can forgive, but I'll never forget is not a true heart change. It's not really forgiving someone in your heart, okay? Because you deliberately are forgetting. It might take a while, but you're forgetting because you've already forgiven back there, see? And let it go, you know? And we have the problem of saying we forgave, but we keep bringing it up. Every time we get a chance, we mention it to someone. Hey, you know what so-and-so did? Yeah, I forgave them, but I just want you to know who they really are. Is that true forgiveness? No. No, it's not. Forgiving from the heart is not bringing it up. It's not holding people to the mistakes that they made. It's not holding people to how they've hurt you, you know, over the years. Because people are people, right? We make mistakes. I've hurt people in my past, and I've been hurt a lot. But true forgiveness is something that, you know, comes from the Lord. And I understand who I am and my crime against God, okay? So this is, you know, in the Gospels, I think for our example, you know, from Jesus himself. You know, let's turn to Colossians 3:13. We'll read a scripture there, and then we'll go to another couple places. Colossians 3:13 again talks about forgiveness. Colossians is after Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Right before 1 Thessalonians. Colossians 3:13. Let's start in 12. Colossians 3:12. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, pure on the heart of compassion, or put on the heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also you forgive. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. So, you know, again, this is the key to forgiveness, right? Forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so you also should forgive. As the Lord forgave you, right? Mercy. As mercy has been extended to me and to you, so we also extend mercy. Okay? That's the key. All right? Ephesians 4:32. Let's turn there. Go back one, or I'm sorry, two books. Ephesians 4:32. It's going to sound monotonous for a reason. In other words, trying to get this message across, okay? Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Okay? As God in Christ, what Jesus Christ did on the cross, man, is, you know, we have been forgiven. If our faith is in Christ, we've been forgiven of our sin debt, past, present, and future. And because we've been forgiven, we need to erase the line that we drew, okay? Erase that, no line. 70 times 7, as many times as it takes. We expect mercy. We expect forgiveness. We need to be quick to forgive, quick to extend mercy. Now, we're going to conclude in the book of Philemon. Turn to that little letter, Philemon, which, you know, Colossians, Ephesians, Philemon, all written by Paul the Apostle. You know, and if you think about Paul the Apostle's life, there's one thing Paul knows is forgiveness. Man, who was Saul of Tarsus? What are some of the character traits and the charge of Saul of Tarsus, right? Murderer, persecutor, right? He had captured Christians and had them put to death, beat them, you know, persecuted them, was trying to shut down Christian churches. Very guilty man, but he had been forgiven of all of this by God. In Christ, right? Been forgiven. So this man extends forgiveness. He understands what it means. It's not something that he heard about, had someone explain to him. It's a firsthand experience. How about you? How about you? You know, think about some of the things that you and I have done over the years. Think about some of the things we have done. You know, some of the worst days we have had, some of the worst seasons of our life, poor choices we've made, sin, you know, habitual sin has riddled our life, selfish decisions. Scripture says that, you know, if any man or woman be in Christ, surrender to Christ, faith is in Christ, they are a new creation. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. Man, I couldn't think of any scripture that talks about forgiveness and mercy better than that. Old things pass away. See, I know who I was. I know the things that I've done. But when God looks at me, he doesn't see that old man. He doesn't see my list of crimes because I've been forgiven of. See, God not only forgives, he forgets. My crimes are thrown into the sea of forgetfulness. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far the Lord, you know, delivers us, right? Our transgressions are so far away. They're never coming back, never to be held against us again. That's what forgiveness should look like in my life, in your life, right? That's true forgiveness. So Philemon, you know, this letter written by Paul, there's a runaway slave by the name of Onesimus, and Paul has a run-in with this slave, probably in a Roman jail. And from the, as we read through this brilliant, you know, personal letter, we come to some conclusions. Onesimus got saved, right, in this Roman jail, because Paul was faithful to preach the gospel anywhere he went, whether he was in Athens, Greece, in the Areopagus, right, speaking to the most intelligent man in the world, or he was in a Roman jail talking to criminals. He was going to preach the gospel wherever he went. And this man, Onesimus, was ran away. Whatever he did, we don't know, maybe stole, but he ran away from his master, and he ended up receiving the beautiful gospel of Jesus Christ. And he surrendered, and the light of Jesus filled his heart. And so Paul writes this letter in an attempt to get, you know, Philemon, which is the slave owner, to forgive this runaway slave. Okay? And you know, we'll start reading from verse 10. Just till the end, it's only 15 verses. Philemon, verse 10, I appeal to you for my child, Onesimus. This obviously isn't Paul's biological child, his son in the faith, right? In other words, whom I have begotten in my imprisonment, who formerly was useless to you, but now is useful both to you and to me. I have sent him back to you in person. That is sending my very heart. whom I wish to keep with me, so that on your behalf he might minister to me in my imprisonment for the gospel. But without your consent, I did not want to do anything, so that your goodness would not be in effect by compulsion, but of your own free will. Verse 15. For perhaps he was for this reason separated from you for a while, so that you would have him back forever. Here it is. No longer as a slave, but more than a slave. Now he's to be a beloved brother, especially to me. But how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So you see this beautiful forgiveness. Paul's saying, don't hold him to what he was. Before he surrendered to Jesus Christ, he was a slave that was a thief, and he ran from you. But now, he's a brother in the Lord. He's family, right? Forgive this man as you have been forgiven. Philemon is a brother in the Lord. You could tell by the terms of endearment that Paul's using. Brother, right? Dear friend, and it's all speaking of the church. And Paul is saying, remember, Philemon, the debt that you and I have been forgiven of. Now, this now comes time where the rubber meets the road. This man stole from you, or worse, and he owes you. But I'm asking you to fulfill what Jesus told us. We forgive in light of the great debt that we couldn't pay, that we've been forgiven of. Remember Matthew chapter 18, right? We can't pay that debt. That's a debt we could never pay. But yet our King, Jesus, forgave us. Most gracious thing that could ever be done for us, right? So forgive in light of that, he says. Let's keep reading till the end. There's one more point I'd like to make. 17, if then you regard me a partner, accept him as you would me. But if he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay it, not to mention to you that you owe to me even your own life, even your own self as well. Yes, brother, let me benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, since I know that you will do even more than what I say. At the same time, also prepare for me lodging, for I hope that through your prayers I will be given to you. 23 and 24 and 25, listen to this. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Mark is John Mark, and in Acts chapter 13, you guys all remember what happened, right? That first missionary journey that Paul and Barnabas and John Mark, the relative of Barnabas, they went on. John Mark felt some opposition, and he bailed on them. He tucked tail. He ran back to Jerusalem and left Paul and Barnabas in the wind. And Paul and Barnabas actually split over this man's, you know, disloyalty, over his cowardness. And Paul was not willing to forgive, right? And the narrative follows Paul from that point, and Paul takes Silas, and they go on a second missionary journey, and Barnabas takes John Mark, and they go in a different direction. The point is that Paul didn't speak about forgiveness in something he heard of or saw in someone else's life. He demonstrated it himself. He says, Philemon, listen, forgive. And when Philemon, they all know what's going on. He reads the name that Paul writes. Greet this brother. He's faithful. He's usable. John Mark. Philemon was like, this man's willing to forgive. He actually did it. Paul forgave because he remembered deliberately every day what he had been forgiven of. you know, tremendous crimes before God. You and me, right? We have committed crimes before, you know, to God. Our sin is against God, right? But we've been forgiven. Nothing is held against us. As far as the east is from the west, as far as he has removed our transgressions from us, our sin is thrown into the sea of forgetfulness, according to God. And in light of that, we forgive. We don't hold debts against people. We don't hold grudges against people. Okay? Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this lesson, this teaching on forgiveness. And you have demonstrated in a perfect way forgiveness to us, Lord. You had every reason to hold a grudge, to, you know, retaliate, but you didn't. You cried out from the cross as you were gasping for air. Every word that you spoke was excruciating, but yet you pulled yourself up from that cross to say these words, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." Lord, that should ring in our heart. Help us to, like you, forgive and forget. To wipe the debt clean, Lord. To not draw that line in the sand. These things we can forgive, but this is the cardinal problem. These were unwilling. When we have a heart like yours, when you, the light of Christ has filled our life, we are willing and able to do anything, to forgive anything, to be Christ-like. So I pray that, you know, you would increase, we would decrease. Lord, help us with the unforgiving spirit that some of us have been holding on to for years. Help us, Lord. We beg for your help. Please give us eyes to see like you do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.